beautiful, beautiful time of worship. What a wonderful sense of His presence here in this place. Truly. Church, what happens when you really get it, man? He loves us so much. He loves us so much. And the price that had to be paid to buy us back from our own sin. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So what happens when your mind and your spirit is truly wide open to the truth that, man, my sin, which we all swim in the same pond of sin, Adam is equated to sin, but then it spread to all men. So every one of us have had sin that has caused a separation called death. But what is it when you realize that peace, but yet Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, has relieved me and freed me from what was rightfully my destination in death? Like, what does that do to your spirit? Like, what does that do when you're in this beautiful place of this anointing in this house, this beautiful place of worship and crying out, just truly in a beautiful song of how great our God is, that we are called to stand in awe of Him. I love these moments, church, that we just understand what it is to just honor Him and to love Him and to bless Him and to worship Him and to praise Him and truly be amazed by Him, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's why. The Bible is very clear. He who has a son has life. He who does not have the son does not have life. 1 John 5:12 makes it just so simple. It just simply makes it black and white, man. It's not complicated. If you have the Son, you're in. If you don't have the Son, you're not in. If you have the Son, that's Jesus, you have everlasting, eternal life. Because Jesus Christ paid for us and bought us back from that destination that we're headed to death. How do we respond to that? We can't just keep sinning. We just can't keep sinning. We just can't keep sinning if we really understand and know that it was by grace that I've been saved. But I'm not going to abuse grace. I'm not going to take it for granted. Church, what is it? When you see just the true greatness of God and His power and His authority, that when He spoke, He created. When He blew His nose, He split the sea. You see, when you understand how great and powerful our God is, for great is the Lord and highly to be praised, for His greatness is unsearchable. Psalm 145:3. That is one powerhouse verse for me, that I can see that great is the Lord and highly to be praised. He is to be celebrated, honored, and adored. He is to be worshiped and praised, right? Highly to be praised for His greatness. The depth of who He really is unsearchable. We see it in Scripture. We see it in creation. We see it in the very air that we breathe. We see it in the sun, the moon, and the stars. We see it in the sea. We see His greatness and His authority and His power. We see it all around on the very bowl that we stand on. But in all that we see, yes, it's enough to know that He's great, but the depth of His greatness, we will never get to the end of it. Maybe, just maybe, when we get to eternal life, we will get this picture going, oh, wow, wow, wow. I believe that that's going to happen for me. I'm going to get to heaven going, bah, God, I knew You were great, but wow, because Your greatness is unsearchable. Like, church, what is our picture of Almighty God? And that God would love us with such a deep love that He would send His only begotten Son, put Himself on a cross for you and I, and give us the only way out. That is the escape route, and it goes right through the cross. No other way. Church, what does redemption really look like? To be redeemed, it means that you have been bought back, paid for. Church, I love it because that simply means that I was worth the price. There was a price that had to be paid for me. And I was worth it. I was worth the price that was paid to buy me back from my sin. To pay the price for me. That my destination, my eternal destination has been changed because someone took the hit for me. And I was worth it. Church, I love it because the cross, it screams your value, and the cross, it screams your worth. That God so loved you because he created you and your value and your worth, that you would walk in union with him. Sin broke that union. And he still considered you and I worth it so much that he sent his only begotten son. It screams value. It screams worth. Do you know Christ as Savior and Lord? Do you know Jesus? Have you come to that place to repent? Have you come to that understanding of who he is and what he's done for you? Do you know the very price that was paid? Satan will lie to you and he will try to steal your worth. He will try to steal your dignity. He will try to steal who you are that God created you to be, that is his. He will try to steal that in so many different avenues and in so many different ways. But the cross is this amazing balance that brings us back to a place to say, I'm worth that to the creator of the heavens and the earth. That was the price that had to be paid so that I can be in union with him again. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And you see in Isaiah 53, and then we'll take communion together, but you see in Isaiah 53 the very price that had to be paid. And when you understand this, church, this is why we worship the way we do. This is why we praise the way we do. We celebrate God Almighty because he loves us. He deserves to be celebrated and worshiped. This is our response to God. This is why we walk in obedience to the word of God. This is why we are quick to repent when we sin. This is why we want to walk in a manner that is worthy of him and blameless. We want to walk in a way that is right before God and not worry about what the world thinks, but what a worry is and what it is to please and honor God because of who he is and what he's done for us, because we get it. Watch, we know the price that was paid, that I am worth the cross. Church, there's something deep to this today. I don't want us to miss it. I want us to know what it is to be redeemed, what it really means to be bought back. Price was paid. For he was despised and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, for he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging or his stripes, we are healed. For all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Like if you just stop there. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. That's true. For all have sinned and fall short. If you really stopped right there in verse 6, it says all of us like sheep have gone astray, but each of us, watch this, each of us has turned to his own way. If you just stopped there, there would be no hope. There would be no eternal life. That means that there is no payment made to get us out of the ditch, to get us out of that roadway that leads to death. There'd be no way out. Each of us earned what we got. Indemnation, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, that he would render himself a quiet offering, and he will see his offspring.
of a guilt offering. He will see his offspring and he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And as a result, this is us, this is me and you, as a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. And by his knowledge and the righteous one, my servant will justify the many. Jesus will justify the many, and he will bear their iniquities. Church, there was a payment that had to be made for me and you. It was God's only son hanging on a cross. Isaiah 52:14 says he was unrecognizable as a human being. He was so badly shredded. He was so badly pierced through. He was so badly crushed. He was so badly whipped and scourged that you couldn't identify him as a human man. So that many will be justified. That he would carry, or he would bear, their iniquities. Church, is unbelievable. When you understand the payment that was made so that you and me could have life and have an eternal. The price that was paid to deal with my sin issue. The price that was paid. The blood that was shed so that there could be forgiveness of sins. Hebrews tells us without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. This had to happen. And it had to happen this way. There is no other way. Thomas asked Jesus, how are we going to know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the way. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's it. It's only through the cross that was payment. That's what had to take place for you and I to know I am saved, I am safe, I am forgiven. There's no condemnation on me. There's no guilt. There's no shame. The work of the cross, the blood of the Savior has cleansed me, and I walk innocent and blameless. And there will be a day that I will be absent from this body, and I will be home and present without judgment before the Lord because of the very work of the cross. Because God said, Sean, you're worth it. Church, that's amazing. Church, that's amazing. And that was the price. And that was the payment for my sin. And we dare not take it for granted. We dare not play games with it. This is not a license to sin because we understand grace. It's a cause for us to be on our knees and confess. It's a cause for us to be on our knees, to be amazed and to worship. And Jesus himself said, remember it. Don't ever take it for granted. Don't forget it. Remember the work. Remember the payment. Remember my body. Remember the blood. Remember what took place, that you are free and that you are forgiven and there is no condemnation on you and you belong to me. I bought you. I paid for you and you belong to me. The world has no hold on you because I bought you back and you belong to me. I paid for you with my blood. Church, it's truly amazing and it's deep and it's real. And I don't ever want anyone in this church to play games with it or think I can sin at will because of God's grace. That's taking it for granted. And Paul himself said, absolutely not. What's the cross mean to you today? What's the cross mean to you today? I wonder if you could open your cups, please. Man, as you're opening the cups, I just want to pray, Lord, man, move in this house in such a powerful way. We love you. We are amazed by you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the rescue. We thank you for delivering us. We thank you for saving us. Jesus, our Savior, we thank you for putting yourself on that cross for us. Jesus, we owe you everything. Man, church, if you're in this place today, man, do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? Man, do you need to come back to the cross? You need to come back to repent? Where are you in this? Man, where are you in this? You playing games with sin and think it's okay? Man, I pray that God by his Spirit will bring great conviction even in this moment to say enough, enough. And live in a way that honors and walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Live in such a way to honor him in your life. Walk in a manner that is right. Man, do you know Christ? It is God who draws you near. Man, if you don't know Christ this morning and you know, God, you are drawing me in this moment, man, I just ask that you just would simply just cry out to the Lord in this moment in your heart. Say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I love you. And I call on the name of Jesus. Jesus, save me. You died for me. The price was paid. Forgive me of my sin. I change my mind to sin. I repent. And I turn. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, save me. Forgive me. Fill me with your spirit. I believe that you are alive. And I surrender. I surrender to you. And in this moment, I give you my life because you gave me your life. I'm all in. Man, if you know that you are truly a son of God and a believer, but yet you've drifted, it's time, man. It's time to return. It's time to come back. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Turn away from your sin. Change direction. Change direction. Come home. If you would just take your bread out, please. And on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead, please. In the same way, he took the cup. So this is a new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead, please. Jesus, we love you. We honor you in this house. We thank you, Jesus, for the cross. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for dying for us. We thank you for forgiving us. We thank you that you were the price that was paid. And you willingly went so that we could be free. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that we are safe and that we are saved. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Hallelujah. Come on. Hey, happy Father's Day. Let's preach to the men. Let's preach to the dads. Come on. I want to just preach this word this morning called Fearless Fathers. And we're going to look at a character in Scripture named Noah. Everyone's familiar with Noah. He's kind of a big deal, right? He's kind of a big wig in Scripture. You've got Adam. He was kind of the first of mankind. God created Adam, put together some dirt and some dust, and whoop, breathed into it, and there was man. It was like, oh, wow, what did that look like? Don't know, wasn't there, but it was amazing. Like, it was incredible, right? Bang, and we're the offspring of all of that, which is incredible. And then there had to be a reset, right? There had to be a reset in history by a global flood that just took out. And you know, when you look at Noah's day, low ball figure is maybe 1 billion people. High ball figure is maybe up to 4 billion people. There's 7 billion people on the earth today. In Noah's day, low ball of 1 billion people. And then it just increases from there. If you start really doing all the digits, we don't know for absolute numbers, but there was a lot of people on the earth. And God said, that's not what I created you for. You're filthy. You're awful. You're nasty. You're disgusting. You're full of sin. You're full of violence. You're full of moral decay. And God says, time for a reset. Bang. Kills them all but one family. What? Hey, happy Father's Day. Good message. But then there was Noah, who, when you see the one-time reset of mankind, God saw this one man. God saw this one man. He was a husband. He was a father of three. He was the father-in-law of three young ladies. And I want you to get this, please. In a world of complete decay, Genesis tells us it was just absolute corruption. It was decay. It was nasty. It was filth all around. It was violence. It was hatred. It was moral chaos. It was disgusting everywhere. But there was one man with three sons. Who had to say, "Dad, we trust you." God's calling us to do what? Oh, you got to build a boat. A what? Floating object. A what? There's going to be a lot of water. It's going to rain. What? Like, could you imagine? Like, this is all true story. It never rained before. It's never flooded before. They've never seen a boat before. They were in the middle of a desert. And this fearless father had three sons. "Dad, we have no idea what's going on, but we trust you." I want this word today to speak to every single one of us dads. In a season where sin was everywhere, and I'm not saying today there will be not another day like there was in the flood, because I promise you, there are more than 8 people who love Jesus Christ just in this room alone today. So there's more here in this room. It's unbelievable when you try to unpack this true story. It's a true story that there's more people who love Jesus and follow Christ here and understand a fear of God in this exact room, in this moment, than all of the world in Noah's day, over billions and billions of people. There's more people who have a fear of God just sitting in these seats today than there was in that day. Unbelievable. So we already know we're way ahead, but we also can see that it's chaos outside. It's moral chaos. It's absolute decline. You've got sin dancing in the streets. You've got people hating one another. You got violence all around. I'm not saying this is Noah's day, not even close, but I'm saying that it is all around us. And we as dads have to be fearless to lead our families to say that is not what God created us for. Man, we're going to see this today, and I want this to just speak to us, but I want to read from Proverbs 1, right off the bat. Proverbs 1, verse 8, it says this: "Hear, my sons, your father's instructions. Do not forsake your mother's teachings." I love where a dad is like, listen, dial in, son. Dial in, daughter. Focus. Zero in on this. This is God's wisdom. This is his word. "Hear, my son, your father's instruction." Hear, my son, your father's warning, or the instruction here, it means something of correction or something of a warning. "And do not forsake your mother's teaching." And then it says this: "Indeed, they are a graceful wreath." The instructions in the teaching are a graceful wreath to your head. That means they have a place of value and worth. "And their ornaments around your neck. My son," listen to this, "my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." Wow, what powerful yet simple words in the day and age that we live in today, where sin just runs free. Sin's just going crazy in the streets. There's violence all around, immorality at the top of decay. "My son, listen. If sin is enticing you, do not obey." Could you imagine Noah in his day when it was only sin all around? To say, "Sons, listen, dial in. Sons, zero in here. Hear me. Listen. Do not let sin in." "Yeah, but Dad, we're the only ones." "I know, son." "Yeah, but Dad, look at all." "Yeah, I know. Looks like they're having fun." "Son, Sin can only be fun for a moment, but then it gets hungry and it will crush you. Sin is hungry and it was a son. Listen, don't let sin entice you. I know that there's a draw. I know that there's a pull, but son, fear God. Walk in a reverence of him. This isn't how God created us. We know that this isn't right. Son, dial in. Daughter, dial in. Daughter, focus, pay attention. Yeah, but dad, everybody's doing this. Daughter, no, everybody's like, could you imagine? Like, listen, Noah is a very real man. His son's real. The daughter-in-law's real. His wife, real. These are real people, just like us. That's what you need to understand. Noah's not an angel. He wasn't supernaturally made. He's a dude that had three sons. And he navigated it right. And he had to be fearless. I want you to pick it up right here in Genesis 6 with me, please. And then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man, that word wickedness, it means that there was such a low value for his creation. That it was evil, that it was bad, that it was corrupt, that it was a moral darkness. Again, I don't equate today's place of there are only 8 people that fear the Lord. Of course, there's more than that, and God has truly blessed the world. But there is a moral darkness that's truly coming. There's a moral darkness that's growing, and it's disgusting. And there is violence that is growing. There's hatred that is growing. And every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And verse 6 is crazy. It says this, the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and that he was grieved in his heart. I got to kind of go through exactly where the world was at the time of Noah to say how fearless Noah really was. You've got to understand the decay of man to understand this one man, this one guy who had to show himself fearless. He wasn't worried about what every other billion people were doing. He wasn't worried about the politics. He wasn't worried about following the crowd. He wasn't worried about trying to blend in with everybody else. He wasn't worried about not offending anybody. This wasn't his game. He didn't care. He cared about honoring and reverencing the Lord. He cared about walking in obedience to God. He wasn't worried about everything all around him and all the chaos. Proverbs 2:5 says that he was a preacher of righteousness. He went right in the face of all the wrong and said, God didn't create us for this. We are called to be right before God. You are walking and acting in a wrong, evil way. God has called us to be right according to what he said is right. But the thoughts and the intent of man were just evil continually. Could you imagine? He's preaching and they're laughing. He's preaching and they're laughing. He's preaching and they're laughing. Out of all of the years, could have been 120 years, how many converts did he get? None. His family, his household. But he would preach righteousness. He would preach, God says this is right and you're doing wrong. God said this is right and you're doing. Could you imagine? And I'm going through this so that us as fathers would understand what it really looked like to be fearless in a day that was full of crazy, full of chaos. And it was so bad. We serve a God who knows all things from the beginning to the end. God already has it scripted. God knows everything that's going to take place, but he allows man to have a choice. But God knows the choice of man. He already knows it. He knows everything. There's nothing God doesn't know. He created Adam and Eve in the garden. He knew that man would have a choice to sin. He knew that man would have a choice through the history of mankind. And then all of a sudden you get to this place in Noah's day where it is just sin everywhere. And God makes this statement that the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth and he was grieved in his heart. What? What? So God, you created man, knew man would fail, knew man would make choice to absolutely be nasty, disgusting, and evil continually. So much so that you are sorry that you even made mankind. And then the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created. Like, church, I need you to see this. I need you to see this, that God is in charge. God is great. And God sees sin. And God is in charge. When God created the heavens and the earth, and all he had to do was speak. And then sin got so bad, and man, his very creation, going, this is not what you were created for. Man was just doing their own thing, and they were just doing whatever they wanted in hatred and violence and filth and immorality and just a moral darkness. And God just came to a place to look at this, grieved in his heart, and said, you know what? I created it. I can fix it. And how did he do that? By blotting them out, by destroying them. But by I like it, the word blot, it means to wipe out. Listen, when you just, there's so much here, but it just screams how great our God is. It screams that God has authority. It screams that God can do whatever he wants to do because God is sovereign and God is in charge. And this is what it says. I love this. And the Lord said, I will blot out, I will wipe out, I will destroy man whom I have created. Because I created him, I can crush him. No one else can make that claim. No one else can make that claim. And gentlemen, I want you to see this because the good news is coming. I want you to hear this. I want you to have an understanding of just how horrible it was and how terrible it was. But what it really, really means in absolute chaos, that we can be fearless fathers. He says, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land. From man to animals to creeping things to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. He goes through all this. And then you get to this amazing verse. You get to verse 8 and it says this. It says this. God says, I'm about to wipe them out. I'm about to take out everybody. I'm about to end this thing. And then he says, but Noah found favor with God. The Bible says God's eyes go to and fro from all the earth. He's just scanning, he's scanning, he's seeing. God who knows all things. And then all of a sudden he comes upon this one man out of the billions, this one man. There's this one guy who's doing it right. There's this one guy leading his family. There's one guy married to his wife. There's one guy who's saying no to sin. There's one guy who's saying no to the wrong. There's one guy who says, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to walk in that way. I'm not going to hate. I'm not going to have violence. I'm not going to have moral decay. I'm not going to walk in immorality. And there's this one man that God sees, this one man, and says, this man has my favor. This man has my grace. This man will see my kindness. But Noah. God's about to do a major, major reset, and he uses Noah. But Noah found favor in the eyes of God, and these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. Why did he find favor with God? Because Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time, and Noah walked with God. Church, I love this. This is a dad who looked around and said, no, God didn't create it like this. No, and he knew the Old Testament, right? He understood what it was, where God was saying, listen, this is the deal. This is who we are. This is God's creation. This is who we're called to be. And he's like, I'm not walking in the way of the world. I'm not going to be like everybody else. God's called me for something greater. God's called me to walk in a manner that is right with him. What does it mean that he was righteous? That he did right by what God claimed to be right? Then in God's court of law, he was divinely approved because he was right, not according to what man said is right. Everyone else was doing what man said is right, and it was chaos and it was sin. But no, there was this one man said, no, we're not doing it that way. We're doing it God's way. And God says, this is right, and we're going to do what's right. And then the Bible says that he was blameless, which means that he was innocent. I love this, that as a man, he wouldn't allow. You could imagine how much decay was all around him. And he wouldn't allow the distractions. He wouldn't allow the contamination into his house. He's like, no, 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 that's not coming in here. That's not coming on my property. No, 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 that's chaos. No, 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 that's not coming. I need to walk blameless. I need to walk innocent before the Lord. I need to walk pure, and I'm not going to let contaminants in my house. What a man. What a man. He identified the evil and said no. He identified the contaminants try to come in, and he said, not today. Every day. And I love it because he was a man who walked with God. The word walk with God, it means he was a man who was in fellowship with God. He maintained this relationship with God Almighty. He walked in this fellowship day after day. He walked in a relationship with God. And I love this. So we're just talking about a man. We're not talking about some angelic figure. We're not talking about some supernatural human being. We're talking about just a dude. Man, I want you and me to see this. I want us to get this, that this was just Noah. And you and I have every opportunity to function in the same way that Noah functioned, in our righteousness and what being blameless and to be able to walk with God. And then you see this. And then Noah became, verse 10, the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And now the earth was corrupt. And the word corrupt says it was corrupt in the sight of God. And it was just decaying. It was nasty. It was in this place of complete crazy downfall. So God says, listen, it's time that I need you to build a boat, because I'm about to take out every human being and all animals. But there needs to be this humongous floating object that's going to take all the animals by two. And you're going to be in this boat for a while. And again, you got to see this as a father had his intent to walk right with God. And we see this amazing picture in Hebrews 11. If you got that mark, could you turn to Hebrews 11? We see that Noah makes the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. He's the Old Testament saint that makes his Hall of Fame of faith. And Hebrews 11 gives us this wide open picture of Noah, his character, and his purpose. Man, I want us to be charged this morning. I want us to be charged and have this fire within our spirit to say, okay, where am I? How am I leading my family? Am I fearless for the right reasons? Am I righteous? Could I say that I'm blameless, or do I just cause reproach on me and my house? Do I say that I walk in this continued fellowship? Me and God, I know God, I know Jesus. Now we're New Testament. I know Jesus. I walk in fellowship with Jesus. Man, I walk with God. I walk in fellowship with Jesus. His Spirit leads me and He guides me. When I'm in tune with Him, I'm dialed into Him, I'm focused. Hebrews 11, 7. It says this, and by faith, I love that. By faith, Noah being warned by God about things not yet seen. That means a flood. That means rain. You got to remember, they were in a desert. And God shows up to Noah and said, okay, buddy, listen, this is the deal. I'm about to wipe out everybody except you and your house. And this is what I need you to do. All right, I need you to build a boat, because the rain's going to come, the flood's going to come, and I'm going to kill everybody and everything that's not in your boat. What? Yeah, it's got to be this big. It's got to be a window here. This is how it's going to go, man. It's got to be a specific wood. This is amazing. And you can, like, again, these are real people. Like, Noah had to have a conversation with his home team, right? He had to have a conversation with his family. Okay, guys, this is how this is going to go. All right, listen, honey, wife, listen, I know, this is what's going to happen, like, the wrath of God is coming. Everybody's going to die, but we're going to be safe because we're going to build a boat. Shem and Ham and Japheth, they're like, what is Dad talking? Like, Dad, what do you mean rain? Like, it's just going to be like rain. It's going to come, and then the floods are going to come, and we've got to pick up some hammers. And we got, I don't know how it's going to happen, but we're going to put this thing together. God's going to guide us, but God's going to save us. And we need to walk in a way that, hey, gang, look around. It's just crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. Listen, nothing that's happening in any other person that we know is right. They're all wrong. And I've tried and I've tried. I've been preaching righteousness. I've been preaching righteousness. Nobody's listening. Listen, listen, Shem, grab a hammer. Ham, let's go, let's go. Hold the board. Japheth, get in. Get out on this. We got to build a boat. Was this going to be like a, like how big? Like, ah, it's going to take us about 100 years. It's okay. We got it. We got this. Like, church, like, this is a very real conversation that he's having with his family. You've got, this ain't a fairy tale. This is real. It's Noah having a conversation with his wife. Ah, honey, this is what's going to happen. But you know what I love? Is that Noah had built up such a relationship with his family that they followed. Okay, grab a hammer. Grab the nail. Grab the wood. If this is what Dad says, then this is the way we were going. And they must have saw something. I love this. They must have saw something in their father. And man, I hope that you have a great father. And I know that a Father's Day can be great for some and we celebrate dads. It can be difficult for others who maybe you've lost your father or maybe you're struggling with your kids. I understand that. When I've seen the stories, I've heard how it's just a difficult day for many because you lost your dad. Maybe it's a difficult day for a dad because you've lost your kids. I tell you, I brag on my father as I grew up in a house with a coach, a true coach. He coached at Alfred University for many years, and it wasn't just coaching soccer and lacrosse, it was coaching in life. He coached his players in life, and he coached his three boys in life. And to grow up in a house with a coach who loved Jesus first, he coached us in the things that were right. And I love my dad, and I am grateful for the home that I grew up in. I'm grateful to be under my father for so many years and understanding what a real coach and how a coach, and there would be correction and there'll be moments and there'll be like, okay, Dad says this, we got to go in this direction. I don't see it, I don't get it, but we got to go in this direction because I trust my dad. Church, could you imagine Noah having to be fearless, to walk by such faith, to build something that's never been built, to believe something is coming that's never come before in rain, and to get his family on board. There must have been such a respect to their dad and to the father-in-law of the three daughters to say, we're in. Dad, we trust you. Dad, we trust you. It's a bit crazy. But Dad, we've seen you preach righteousness. We've seen you stand in the middle of crazy and declare righteousness. We've seen you be blameless and innocent. We've seen that you have protected this house. When we wanted to wander, you pulled us back in and say, no, 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 don't let sin entice you. Dad, we've seen it. Because of that, we trust you when we most need to trust you. Men, I want our families to trust us in this most crazy season, to trust you when you're making major decisions. But please hear me, gentlemen, gentlemen, don't take that lightly. You better be on your A game, and you better be hearing from the Lord, and you better be in his word, and you better be walking by wisdom. You can't wing this thing, man. You can't wing this thing. Noah didn't wing it. He walked with God. He was in tune with God. He had a relationship with God. He understood what it was to walk in a fear of God. He wasn't winging it. Gentlemen, I need you to hear me, please. Men of this church, dads of this church, we can't wing it. There's way too much at stake. We are called to walk with God. And we're called to be in fellowship with Him. And we're called to understand His word. And we're called to get our families to church. And we're called to walk in a manner worthy of Him. We're called to walk blameless and above reproach. We're called to walk in a manner that is right with Him, to walk and function from a place of righteousness and holiness, because we stand before a holy God. Man, there has been weight on our shoulders that we must bear. And we cannot wing this anymore. No more games. We need to see what Noah did in a time of crazy and chaos. And his family simply just said, "Dad, we're in. Because we trust you. Because we've seen it. We've seen it." Hebrews 11:7 says this. By faith, Noah, being warned of God about things not yet seen. Watch this. Number one is this: in reverence. In reverence, he prepared an ark. He did something just crazy. But it was out of this complete reverence and awe of God. This respect that no other person on the earth had. Psalm 33:8, could you please put that up there? Church, what happens? We were sung it this morning. What happens when us as dads, we stand in awe of Him, that we function from this place of reverence. We make decisions based off this place of reverence. We walk in a manner to lead and guide our families. We make decisions financially out of reverence. We make decisions of what God has called us to out of a pure reverence of Him. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the earth fear the Lord. That is a respect, and that is a reverence, and that actually crosses over into a terrifying fear. And then it says this, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Let all the earth fear Him. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe and wonder and reverence of Him. And guess what? That was Noah in a crazy day. And in reverence, and in awe, and in fear, and in respect, he built the ark. Watch this. Number two is this: for the salvation of his household. For the salvation of his household. He lived and breathed in a reverence of God. Everything I think, everything I say, and everything I do has to come from that respect of God Almighty. Because I want to please Him in all respects, and it's impossible to please Him without faith. So everything that I do as a dad, I want it to come from a reverence of Him first. And I got to be fearless in that. Parents, you got to be fearless in correcting your kids. It's okay if they get mad at you, they'll live. It's okay to correct your kids. You got to be fearless. When you see them going in the wrong direction, when they are under your house, you have a season, church. You have a season as a dad to really correct and parent your kids until they come to that place to be out of the house. And then hopefully you're in a place of being a counsel that they trust. You hope that that's true. But he did this for the salvation of his household. I love this because you can equate this to Joshua, and we got to go here in just a minute. I want to pray for the men. But Joshua 24 gives us this amazing picture. You've got Joshua, and he's standing before the huge crowd, and he's like, listen, you guys got to understand this. You got to understand this. I am begging you that you would love and fear God. I'm begging you. Man, you need to love with a sincerity, with a sincere heart. You need to love God, and you need to have a reverence and a fear of God. But if you choose not to, if you choose to go the way of the world, if you choose to go in a manner of really worshiping false God, if that's what you choose, Joshua says this, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Like, listen, Joshua's like, me and my household, we're going to be saved. What I'm trying to accomplish is for me and my household to be saved. Joshua's like, listen, you go do whatever you're going to do. I cannot beg you enough to come to Christ. I can't beg you enough to serve the Lord. I can't beg you enough to walk in a manner worthy of Him. I can't beg you enough to lay down sin. I can't beg you enough. Man, I beg you, fear God, walk in a way worthy of Him. But if you choose not to, know this. This is where Joshua is. This is where Shorrowfield is. This is where Noah was. Know this, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You do what you're going to do. Could you imagine Noah in the day that everybody else on the planet was doing what they were going to do? And Noah's like, not my house. I am building this ark for the salvation of my home. What a dad. And the boys are like, Dad, we get it. We're in. Dad, we get it. We're in. It's for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Dads, where are we in this? I'd love to pray over you today. If you are a father today, would you please just stand to your feet, please? I want to pray, and we're going to sing, and I'm going to ask you, as we sing this song, like, where are you in this today? Are you a dad where you're like, listen, I want to walk in a reverence of God. I want to work and live and breathe for the salvation of my household. I want to walk righteous. I want to walk blameless, and I want to walk in fellowship with Jesus. This is I want to be that Noah in a time and day and age when it is just absolutely chaos and crazy, and sin's dancing in the streets, and there is such a moral decline, and there is violence, and there's hatred. Who are we going to be as dads? Today we're just shooting straight as I possibly can shoot. To say, man, we need men. We need dads who will be fearless. We need dads who are not concerned about popular view. We need dads who are not concerned about politics. We need dads who are all in on righteousness, all in on reverence, all in on the salvation of our household, all in saying, listen, if God is for me, who can be against me? I don't give two hoots about the way of the world, but my family, my sons, my daughter, my son-in-law, my daughter-in-law, whatever that looks like for you, that they will walk in a way to honor you and to glorify you and to live in such a way that God, you be glorified. God, you be glorified, because I will walk in a place of reverence. I will walk in a place to hold purity and not allow any contaminants to come in my house and be blameless. And I will walk in a manner that is right with you, to be in fellowship with you, to know you and to love you and to obey you. This is who I will be as a fearless father. This is about as straight as I can get, church. Because I don't want to miss it. There's so much at stake. Come on, let me pray for you. And if you're in this house and your wife is next to you, or maybe a son or a daughter, would you just lay your hands on your dad? I just want to pray over him. And man, as we sing and close out, I want us to shift today, man. I want us to understand, God, you have a purpose for me as a dad. And am I doing it? Have I been deceived? Have I been lied to? Have I missed my mark? Have I missed what you've called me to? Then that changes today. Father, I just ask in Jesus' name that you would bless these men. You would bless these dads, these fathers. You would bless these grandfathers. Oh, God, that we would be who you've called us to be as men. You've called us to be as dads, that our kids would see righteousness in us. They would see wisdom in us. And God, our kids, that we'd earn it, God. We'd have to earn it, but our kids would trust us to do what you've called the family to do. God, I ask that you would strengthen these men. I ask that you would honor these men and that you would bless these men. And Lord, if there's any men in this place to say it's time to make a shift, it's time to clean it up, it's time to dial in, it's time to focus. Lord, I pray in this moment they would make that decision and they would make that change. Gentlemen, make the change. Gentlemen, make the decision. It's time to dial it in. It's time to lead my family. It's time to live a life of holiness. It's time to live a life that I would be fearless for the salvation of my household. Gentlemen, make the change today, please. In Jesus' name.